You hear me?
Yes.
Good?
Got them on?
Good?
Yes.
The joy of having a deaf church ministry, you don't have to worry about microphone.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about the music system.
Right.
And have to save money too.
Yeah.
So, how many of you know us? No, that's okay. Some of you remember us way back when we came to ministry. I recognize a couple of faces.
Yeah.
First thing Luke said, I became more gray. So that's a compliment, you know. So I guess that's good. Yeah. So, of course, this is my wife, Marianne, and myself, Pete. And I say about half of you had your hands up, so you're familiar a little bit about the deaf ministry. How many of you have met some deaf people growing up? Okay, some of you. And I'm still, when you met some deaf, you feel a little bit, want to talk with them, but kind of a challenge, kind of hard, right? And so me and my wife were both born deaf, and so we grew up identifying. And later on in the year, believe it or not, you know, I grew up not until I was in college when I was 20 years old, I got saved. Long story. So, you know, that's the first time I heard God's word when I was 20. And my wife got saved 18. And she grew up in a Christian family, so it took a while for her to understand God's word. So we'll have to be brief here. And so let's get going here then. So I'm going to touch up a little bit about why we're doing, what's our purpose and what for and all that, and more educating to understand. And it's always a constant thing to educate people, churches. You know, a lot of them don't understand why we need a deaf ministry, a deaf church. And well, some of you met them deaf and you know how to communicate. So who's the best? Us. So we thought it's here that basically, the statistics, there's over 6 million deaf people in America. Some say 22 million, but you get the idea. A lot. And all over the world, about 70 million deaf. And you can read over there then. So then it's the largest unreached group in the world. And deaf is its own culture. It's not a handicap. It's not handicap, it's a culture. We have our own way of life and identity, and it's a culture. So it's the largest in the world of people not reached with the gospel. And so it's a big challenge. And so a lot of people think, you know, support missionary other countries, but we have a challenge trying to get support here in America. And there's a huge need in America. And so only 2-4% attend church, and out of that small group, only 1-2% say they're Christians. And so we came here to start the ministry, and there's about 10,000-12,000 deaf in the whole surrounding Indianapolis area. So it's a huge field here in Indianapolis alone, Indiana. And basically, in this area, there's only about 250 attend church. Now, this is based on statistics, but really, we've been all over the place, and you find out 20 years. I don't think that many even go to that church. That's very sad. It'd be less than 200, I would say. And so we're missionaries to the deaf across the country, but later we established a church in 2005, Crossroads Deaf Baptist Church. And 2007 we relocated. So this Sunday we're going to celebrate 20 years anniversary. The church having an event this Sunday, 20 years anniversary. This October we're celebrating our 20 years anniversary in marriage. And so we have a lot going on. So Our mission statement is that the Sabbath of Deaf Church with an environment to reach people, primarily the deaf and their families, to teach them the Bible doctrine and train them to be more like Christ in their lives. And it's very similar to what you practiced, so that's our goal. I'm going to have to move along pretty quick. So basically the deaf are being abandoned. A lot of the deaf in America, over all over the world, have hearing parents who, you know, caught out of the blue, you know, who don't know how to communicate, so they leave them alone, they leave them out. And so really, we're working with unchurched people, and it takes a long time to develop trust, confidence, and they feel comfortable coming to church. But you understand, deaf is visual. Everything we do is all eyes, visual, everything. It's, you know, we sit where we sit based on the light. We try to find a table that's round so we can see each other. You know, so everything has a reason for it. And so this is, they grow up knowing nothing about God, like myself. I didn't know nothing until I was 20, first time I heard God's word. So that it takes time to develop trust. And even we met a deaf couple, they were in their 60s, and they never heard of a God creation. And so the number one successful group that have recruited the deaf are Jehovah's Witness, more than any other denomination, Baptist too. And it's a big challenge. And they spend million dollars building churches and design deaf churches with the seats vibrate with the music. And they have the seats like a sea, you know, so everyone sees. So they spend millions of dollars. And, you know, the deaf think if you carry this, then they think, oh, well, there must be, you know, Christian, there must be, you know, they love God. They don't understand that. And so we have to teach them baby steps. So, and then there's a deaf ministry where we have an interpreter here. Many of you have seen that in TV, or maybe you've been to church, they have an interpreter, and that's great. But, you know, many churches not have interpreters, okay? And so you're familiar with Hispanic churches, and many Hispanic churches have their own Hispanic pastor, and same thing, that's the same concept. We started a deaf church where we can identify, they can relate, and we've been in their shoes, we understand. And my wife would like to say something, go ahead.
I want to take plan. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Don't we test it? Okay. I want to explain that I lead the songs in our deaf church, and I'm in a unique position to do that because I grew up mentoring in a hearing school, and my mom taught me the tempo to songs as I grew up. So I know the songs and I know the tempo. Most deaf people, if they get up to sign it, they sign word, word, word. They don't understand how they're signing. But when I change it to American Sign Language, it's 60% French and 30% English structure. Then they understand it clearly. And people will say, where are you finding all these good songs? I'm singing old hymns when we all get to heaven, standing on the promises, blessed assurance. And I think it's very sad that some of them are in their 60s and 70s and they never heard these songs. And the church I grew up in my second church had a group called the Inspiration Quartet, so of course I'm mixing some of those songs too. And I like it when I see deaf people worshiping God through music, and deaf people crying, and deaf people say, can we sing it again? And when I introduced Tony, I Get to Heaven, we had one woman just started coming, and she loved that song, and I sang it for 3 Sundays. Then I skipped a Sunday, and I went back to sit down. And she goes, wait, wait. And I'm like, what's wrong? She said, you didn't sing when I get to heaven, that I'll touch drink when I'll touch heaven. And we had another visitor come and she's copying the signs and she realized what it says and she just started crying, tears just pouring and she started rocking. And she went to the bathroom to cry and I had to send someone to check on her. She said, I want to go to heaven now, I don't want to wait. So well, that's not your decision, that's God's decision. And so I just love that and I love how when you finish church, sometimes somebody else wants to sing some of the songs again and again. And that's what it's about, worshiping God. Yes. You're going to see that in the hearing church. They sing the exact word, 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 word. But they sing, when we all get to heaven. The dark church, when heaven we all talk, what a day, what a joy that will be when we all see Jesus. Ooh, I'll sing goosebumps. See the difference, it comes alive, and that's what you, the way it should be. You should be worshiping God with all that's within you.
Yeah. Amen. This is amen. You're good. Yeah. Do you teach sign language class here? No? Okay. So just amen. Let me see. Amen. Okay. Now, some churches, the people in the back can't see, and if you're really impressed, inspired, you know, amen. 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 Yeah, better. Okay. So, and then the verse in Romans, how can we reach them, you know, if they don't have a preacher, and so that's what I'm here, we're here to reach out to them, so they know about Jesus. And so we do a lot of everything individual, we do PowerPoint presentations, pictures, illustrations, dramas, we do a lot of those things, and it takes a long time, we develop them to understand the basic foundation. Hearing a pastor preach maybe a whole chapter, something we just pick out like one paragraph. I do many different variations, different ways. So, and we do illustrations. These are different samples of pictures that are used. That's one out of hundreds. And we do counseling and shut in people who can come in through health reasons or whatever. And we do a lot of involvement with the deaf community activities. There's a lot of deaf we go to try to meet, connect with them. CODA, C-O-D-A, meaning children of deaf adults. And we have many of that too. So it's a wide open field and never can keep up. And these are just simple. I want to understand, because our church is local here, we had to respect the privacy of some of the people. They're not comfortable showing pictures of themselves, so I can't show a lot of pictures of individuals because we're respecting the preferences. So I'm just picking just a few just to see ideas. So locally, that's why. So, but this top left corner, a deaf, there are deaf. It's an op in Anderson. Make a long story short, I work in FedEx for many years, and then I work at Amazon, and I met the deaf man, and he was so excited. It's a long story here, but I've only got too much time, but he was so excited, and he was just like hungry, ripe like an apple, and so, and he wanted to have Bible study up there, but kind of a challenge, the conflict is scheduled. So we're working on it. So he invited for an event and got some local deaf together to introduce to me. So great. Top right, the deaf movie. All the actors were deaf. And so that's another opportunity to interact with the deaf people. And the movie was about, the name of the movie was Jesus. And so all the actors were deaf. And so that was that. And the bottom left, we go to Creation Museum and the Ark. They're very deaf friendly. When I mean deaf friendly, I mean everything visual, caption. And so very, very well done, you know. And many of the deaf didn't know about the word flood, you know, and things like that. So that was the other thing we do. The bottom right, bonfire, a major event for the deaf. They love bonfire, and so we had bonfire at our property home, and that's the reason why I'm about a lot of work. But we have about 55, 60 deaf come to that. Big event, so that's the big thing. We have some permitted pictures. This is last fall, we had baptism. This comes out on the right side. There's an older man and a young girl. So it's the oldest man from the church and the youngest girl from the church. The oldest and the youngest, they both got baptized. And they're both deaf. The older man, he never knew about creation or nothing. He was in the 60s, no nothing. He went to church with the parents, but no interpreter, So I got the idea. So time and he and his wife got saved. His wife passed away 10 years ago. And so he's been very faithful. So praise the Lord. And this young girl, she's deaf. Her mom is deaf. Her dad deaf. So very excited. That girl really, really motivated. Okay, so here, she's this very faithful woman. She had many, many physical challenges, and she passed, went home with the Lord last week. So we're going to have a start the celebration of life in a couple of weeks. So it's been a long journey for her, but she got a wonderful home now. So this is basically 41 saved. Now, if we report, other countries, 50 here, 50 there, 100 there, 100 there, okay, good. But this is deaf, different. They are unsure people. I said the man never heard of a creation when he was in the 60s. So we're working with those type of people. So people, when they see people go to church, what they see? They see people coming in with a real nice dress, tie, all that, but they feel intimidated. They don't feel comfortable going to deaf church because they think they have to be dressed up and, up to your equal. And so it takes time to do that. What was I going to say about that? So it takes a long time to get through this. And I'm going to go ahead, want to do a little bit of an illustration, just a general idea of what we do in the deaf church. Let me get, so I'll open this one. So I'm going to touch on this a little bit. And like I said, deaf are very visual. Everything I preach about or teach or help or whatever is based on visual things. And deaf are also very sensitive to touch. Okay. That's how we, I'm sure my wife can tell you to get tired of me tapping on her shoulder. And did that to me too. I want to show something here. I want to ask you something. Think about it. Right now, where you're sitting in that, so what's touching you? Right now, think what's touching you? Just think about it. Okay, so, I'm not going to punch you or anything. I'm not a boxer, but I want to tell you something. So if you want to, you can tell me what you're thinking, what's touching you right now. Anybody, you say God is touching, some people say that God is touching me, or something. So basically, every time I ask that question, nobody gets the answer I'm looking for. And so you'll find out. So you know, with psychology research and all that, and they all come up with ideas how to improve things and how things get better. You know, the world is falling apart, and so they have to come up with something to improve life. And you all see that every day. And you know, and when they come up with ideas that will work, you know, if you go back to the Bible. The Bible tells the same thing. And so, you know, talk about, you know, if you feel cared for, then it releases stress and you have positive emotions. And then psychologists say that, you know, talk is an age-old form of communication that has stood the test of time and remained vital in our modern world. So I'm just throwing that there because we see the world come up like this, but you know, God has put it in his word too. It's in there too. And I'm just skipping along here. And so the great thing he very simple verse is that 1 John 4:19, he said we love him because he first loved us. We feel he cared. We feel he touches us. You know, we feel unique. You know, someone has to care about me. And we are going through some challenges. And I found out some challenges in the last few months, and so not easy. And so my title here is Remove Your Gloves. So what I mean, remove your gloves. So let's touch on it. So y'all know, former President Teddy Roosevelt, he said, no one cares about how much you know until they know how much you care. And so that's what we do in we try to show, it doesn't matter how much I know, you know, or what, we have to show we care. That's what people want. They feel they're connected, they feel that someone really values them. And 1 Peter 5:7-8, says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. And I want to understand, it's under the mighty hand of God, okay? So put that in the back of your mind, hand. And I want to explain to you, when in the deaf church, this is how we do this. We do this step by step and explain things. So I wanted to talk about the story about Jesus and the blind man. And we skip over to me here. And the story about Jesus and the blind man, basically Jesus was traveling to, and the blind men heard about Jesus in town. They heard about Jesus, they know something about him. So they know that he's God, so they cried out to him. And Matthew 20:13, Jesus just told him, what will you that I shall do unto you? Of course, Jesus knows, but he wants to see what's in the heart. The same thing in your own personal life, when you're going through rough time or whatever, you know, need to express to him. And they said unto him, Lord, open our eyes, that our eyes will be open. And so the key there, and Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. For example, let's say, I'm sure some of you have been going through in a dark woods, or all of a sudden the light is off and you don't know where to go. You start to kind of get emotional and get tense, and then somebody, you know, and so you feel all good. You know, I'm not alone. Somebody with me here. Somebody touched me here. And I'm, you know, I'm following him. The same thing, you know, they touched, Jesus touched them. And they realized he was sincere. He had compassion. He showed care. He touched them exactly what they wanted. Same thing, you all have challenges, issues, frustrations, listen long. And he told me exactly what he would take care of you. The challenge is that sometimes we don't realize it, and Before I go on that, another example briefly is Gideon the deaf man. Mark 7:33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that it be opened. So that could be an hour-long message here. So basically, many, many times Jesus understands and aware of what you're going through, is that we just don't realize it because we're so busy. Now, back to removing your gloves. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How many of you remember the time you got saved? Do you remember? Okay. I mean, you can't forget it. It was just a great moment. It was a great experience. And it was something you will never forget. Okay? And you just gave it all. But the problem was, after you surrendered and you got saved, and then go on, you get caught up into the things of the world, you get caught up into being busy, and activity, and job, and then you just kind of a little bit give, you know, holding on to stuff, your pride, ego, and your desires, everything, instead of God surrendering all. So, go back to when I asked you what's touching you, many of you say, my God is touching me, or maybe my purse is touching me, or I'm touching the seat. But I never get the answer I want. And really, bottom line, your clothes is touching you. You just don't think about it. Your clothes is touching you. Same thing, Jesus is touching you, but you just don't realize it. And why? It's because I got this glove here, and so I need to surrender. But it says, just as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. It means, Lord, help me. Give it all to you. Guide me. Give me wisdom. Protect me. Walk with you. Everything. He wants all of you. And so, okay, so all my concern about what's going on in the world, the wars, and the tension with Russia and China, and America here, and falling apart, and all this stuff. So, okay, I put that to the Lord. Lord, you have to help me through this. So I take the glove off, okay? And then I got another one here. So this is more like my coworkers, my boss, my family, my children, my neighbors. You know, I have to forgive them, you know, or maybe God, you know, wants to reach out to them. So God, sorry, help me to love that person, help me to forgive, help me to be a good testimony. So I surrender, okay? So I'm getting close. I can see my hand, but inside my life, inside your life, you're not really letting it go. Personally, maybe you have an issue of anger, bitterness, or jealousy, selfishness, something here, you know? It's not bad. I mean, I'm serving God, I'm going to church, and I'm reading the Bible and stuff, but I'm holding a little bit here. Just like this, I can see my hand, but it's still there. He really, I don't feel like he's really, I'm united with him, you know? So, surrender. Now he touched me. I can feel him. I'm with him. And I realized, you know, his compassion loved me. And he inspired me. And he guided me. Not perfect, but he would guide you according to his will. Whether you like it or not, that his way is the best, better than our ideas, better than the world ways. And so this is an idea that Jesus is out there touching you. If you were going through challenges, give it all to him. It's the same idea you surrender your life to God. Say every day, pray, God, help me, this. And it's tough, yes, but he's with you. He understands. He cares for you. Just like he showed the blind man and the deaf man. and through the whole Bible. We'll pray, and let me do a short special song, and Luke will take over. Heavenly Father, we thank so much for all what you've done. By the way, excuse me, I'm praying here, but you all have your head down, so how do you know I'm signing? No, do. See what I mean? Yes. Everything ready, so watch, sign, you know, so that's how we work with the deaf. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for you. Thank you, God, for yourself, our Creator. You thought about us long time ago, about us, and today we're alive here. Today, we surrender our lives to you. We thank you so much for your faithfulness, patience, kindness. We thank you so much for your compassion and understanding the challenges that we're facing. And God, we admit that we sometimes go involved, busy, doing things, not realize you're really actually touching us. We just not notice it because we have too many things interfering in our walk with you. So help us to surrender everything to you. And for those who doubting, not sure in their own relationship with you, that you put in their heart the desire to surrender their life to you. In your name, Jesus, we love you. Amen.